I can. My name is Charlie Hewlett. I'm a managing director with Robert Charles Lesser and Company, RCL Co., out of our Washington, D.C. office. I've been with the firm for 22 years in the real estate industry for 25 years. RCL Co. Is one of the leading real estate consulting and advisory firms with a national practice. We conduct market and financial feasibility, fiscal economic impact for real estate projects, retail, residential, mixed use, multiple use, as I said, all over the country. I have been very active in Sussex County over the years and have done some retail market opportunity analyses as well as some site-specific feasibility study in the Route 1 corridor in the last couple of years. So with that as background, I can't see this here. Who is the F4? To do this? Can't see this here. I'll just have to look to my right. No, I just turned it off. That's great. As you can tell, I'm not the technology guy. Oh, there and there. Mm-hmm. Anyways, let me jump in. Mm-hmm. The visuals are. That's okay. Just have it over there, just so I can see it. Yeah, I will. All right. Well, I'm gonna. You're gonna see me pass through some slides mercilessly. I'm going to start here. I want to first of all talk about what's going on in the current retail market environment out there. We define the beach market as an area from Lewis down to Fenwick. So in that marketplace, there's about 2.1 million square feet of existing retail in about 21 neighborhood, community, and outlet centers. The vast majority of that is in the Route 1 corridor, as you well know, about 90% of that. As you look at the market today, obviously in the current economic times, the market is currently experiencing some stress. There's about a 30% vacancy rate in a number of centers, and I'm sure you've seen some of the dark stores. There have been declining rents since the peak of the market, and many retailers are curtailing any expansion plans that they might have had. We've done an analysis that similar to what ERA does, looking at expenditure patterns and households and what you can support in terms of retail square feet based on those expenditure patterns, looking both at existing residents, seasonal residents, as well as tourists from various different feeder markets. And what that analysis indicates is that there's a current retail demand support for about 1.8 million square feet in that beach market. Submarket area, and so you compare that against the existing retail supply of 2.1 million square feet, and what that tells you is that at least today that there appears to be an oversupply of over 300,000 square feet of retail. So that is fairly consistent with the notion of 30% occupancy vacancy rates in some of these centers. This is an indication of where some of the key shopping centers are in the Route 1 corridor. The point here that I'd like to make is simply that there are no missing teeth, if you will. Most of the major categories are represented here. It's a little difficult to read, but in the, let's call it green, olive green, you've got grocery stores, you've got home improvement, you've got bookstores in the mix, drug stores, home improvement, I said. You also have discount department stores. So again, no indication that there are any truly missing teeth or missing categories in the corridor. And no pent-up demand that we can tell, at least from a statistical standpoint. When you look at the future of the retail market in particular, once the market recovers, and I think it is important not to think about this in today's context because it is a very difficult time right now, but with expected population growth, there will be demand for additional retail over time in this marketplace. There's no question about that. However, when you look at the amount of planned and proposed space and space that's under construction, which is what this graph is showing you, there's a clear mismatch between the amount of new retail that can be supported going forward and the amount of space that's currently being planned for the corridor. So if you look at the quantification here, there's over 2.1 million square feet of retail space that is either under construction. Under construction is a very small component. It's only 20,000 square feet today, but a total of 2.1 million square feet that is planned in some stage of the approval process. So when you compare that against the future demand, when you look fast forward and add household growth and growth into the marketplace, you've got 20,000 square feet that's under construction today. You've got another 2.1 rounded that is planned or proposed. And so you have a total pipeline of that 2.1 million square feet. Our analysis indicates that net new retail demand over the next 10-year period is for 887,000 square feet. So that's taking the future population household growth in the market and adding retail expenditures and figuring out how much additional net new space can be absorbed in this marketplace. So on an annual basis, if that's 89,000 square feet, that pipeline of space is a 24-year supply of retail that's planned and proposed in this marketplace. So again, a clear mismatch. And if you look at just the Five Points intersection alone, there's five planned centers there, including the Townsend Village Center, 728,000 square feet of space, and that represents just an 8-year supply in that Five Points immediate vicinity alone. So what impact would the addition of all of that retail space have on the marketplace? Well, clearly, if some of this space were delivered in advance of the demand being there, one of two things, and possibly both, could happen. Number one, the new retail development would draw patrons and shoppers away from existing centers, and those centers would suffer, or the whole market, both new construction as well as existing development, would not be able to capture sufficient retail expenditure, and you'd have increasing vacancies and you'd have underperforming economics. There's the superstore factor in this marketplace. You're aware that there is an existing Walmart, there's an existing a Kmart in the marketplace. Both of those stores are, let's call them old formats for those category killers. Their new formats are the superstores, where they bolt together their discount department stores and add a full grocery store to those, 170,000, 220,000 square feet. I've spoken to representatives from these companies, and they have no current plans. But I can tell you, just based on their modus operandi, that if they found an opportunity where they could take one of these functionally obsolete stores and go dark with it in this marketplace and build a new supercenter, that they would do that in a heartbeat. The ERA report refers to Target, as everyone likes to refer to them, as an example of a possible anchor. Well, they have a super Target format too, which is 170,000 square feet. So the representatives from Target said that they had no current plans right now, but again, that is a possibility for this site. And what's important when you think about these types of category killers, these superstore formats, they have a dramatic impact on a wide range of existing tenants, and they have proven in other marketplaces that they can capture a disproportionate share of retail dollars. So I think that's an important consideration to keep in mind. We've heard a lot about smart growth today, and personally, I'm a big proponent of smart growth, and walking to retail is wonderful. But the notion that 2,000 new homes could support this retail center is just a little bit of a stretch. Yes, it is true that 2,000 residential units adjacent to the center, probably a good percentage of that traffic would be intercepted and would not go to Route 1, and that's wonderful. But a center of 327 or 87,000, I don't know what the exact number is here, would certainly have to rely on drawing patrons from a much wider area. So you think about a typical grocery store drawing from a 1 to 3 mile radius, depending upon the brand and quality and the other intercept locations. You think of a super center kind of a situation, a power center kind of an anchor, like a super Walmart or a super Target, that pulls from about a 10 or a 15 mile radius, and we've seen a lot of information about that. So if you look at slide 9 here, and I believe you have this in your books, this is typical thumb rules along the left of what kind of population you need to support various types of retail centers. And you can see going down the list that, you need, 5,000 in population to support a gas station, say, or a hardware store or a bank. When you get to a grocery store, you need 10,000 in population to support sort of a typical format grocery store. And if you get to a department store, you need about 20,000. So 2,000 new homes with the average household size of 2.4, which is what the average is for Sussex County, gives you a population of 4,800. So you can begin to see that, again, these new 2,000 households that would be developed in close proximity to the center would nowhere support the kind of retail development that's contemplated here. That's really hard to see, and what we did is, instead of just looking at thumb rules, we did a specific analysis saying, what could 2,000 households, based on the expenditure patterns in this market, what could it support? The bottom line here is that those 2,000 households could support just under 40,000 square feet of retail.
Sir, I don't think there's anybody in this room that's dumb enough to think that 2,000 homes are going to support that shopping center. Everybody knows that they're going to have to draw from a much larger area than that. Let's move on.
I would agree, but I thought that was part of this, the central part of the argument, so I was just addressing that in case someone was dumb enough. what I'll end with here is some information that comes directly from ERA's report itself, and it addresses how much of the support will come from growth in the marketplace. Their analysis indicates that in 2018, there's support for 190 to 230,000 square feet in a non-anchor center development. Their analysis indicates that 40 to 50,000 square feet of that will come from growth between 2013 and 2018. So 150,000 to 180,000 square feet of that has got to come from something other than growth, which means it's got to come from existing centers. If you look at the larger scenario, which indicates that the growth would represent 90,000 square feet, again, 260 to 320,000 square feet of that demand projection has got to be coming from dollars that are already being spent in the marketplace. The last thing I'll leave on is traffic, everyone's favorite subject. It's a four-letter word for a lot of people here in the room. From a retailer's perspective, traffic is a good thing. They like traffic counts. And so when you think about the location of this property on Kings Highway, which has 14,000, 15,000 traffic counts, and you think about the logical location for a 300,000 square foot center, most retailers would choose a location that had traffic counts more like 25 to 30 or even 60,000. So the Route 1 locations that are available out there in the marketplace are much more logical, just from a retail market perspective, than any kind of a center would be on Kings Highway. And I'll stop there.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Mr. Tyler can be my next witness.
Okay.
Find myself around. Am I still awake?
Well, Mr. Tyler, all I can say is that we're certainly glad to hear from somebody who's not being paid to be here.
Yeah, if I was, I'd probably be making more than everybody in the room.
I know that you do it for love of community, and I mean that sincerely, because we've seen you many times. So please, please enlighten us.
My name is Michael Tyler. I'm president of Citizens Coalition, and I live in Lewis. A couple of things that I just would like to touch on before I read my prepared comments. This is not a Lewis issue. It has far greater consequences, and I think this is... It seems like it's an issue between profit versus people. And it probably has to do with property rights, but it shouldn't ignore or it shouldn't fail to protect our property rights, the rights of people who live in Sussex County, who have certain expectations of what their town or what their area that they live in may have. One of the things that we did, Citizens Coalition did, was to do what we called a reality check. Apparently, there were some ads that ran in the paper, at first anonymously, I can get all my stuff together here, that talked about myth versus fact, and they really had no way of substantiating what those facts were. And I'll give you copies of these, but I just like to quote a couple of things. No shopping center, regardless of its size, can exist without heavy truck traffic. Such traffic is out of character with the surrounding residential communities, and the center itself is inconsistent with any commercial properties from Route 1 to Cape Henlopen Drive. Imposing such commercial traffic on unsuited roads is unsafe and wholly acceptable. And then we can take a look at our comprehensive plan, which everybody has been invoking, and it talks about trucking. in the mobility element. It says, while trucks play a crucial role in commerce, it is widely held that the dominance of trucks for goods movement has several negative effects, and they misspelled effects, it should be effects, including perceived increased safety hazards to other motorists and increased highway congestion and pollution. Truck traffic is of particular concern to traditional activity centers such as Georgetown, Lewis, Milford, and Laurel. It's in your comprehensive plan. Another thing that we talked about a reality is Lewis is a gateway community. Gateway communities are important, not simply because they provide places, and I'm quoting here, not simply because they provide places for Americans to eat or sleep during their visit to natural or historic area. They are also portals to our most cherished landscapes. Here is where it is imperative that we integrate human needs with those of our natural environment or cultural history. This is from a book called Balancing Nature and Commerce in Gateway Communities by Jim Howe and Ed McMahon. You may have heard of Ed McMahon. He's a well-known land planner. It goes on, the placement of anywhere USA shopping center on King's Highway is a serious affront to Lewis, the state park, and I quote again from the book, the majority of residents and newcomers who feel a strong attachment to the landscape and character of their town. That was in our reality check number two. The last one I quote from our reality check came from reality check number three, respect our roots. People live in and have moved to the Lewis area east of Route 1 because of the off-beaten path character of the area, largely unspoiled by insensitive commercial growth and shared by families, new arrivals, and long-time residents. The reality is that an overwhelming majority of residents, local businesses, and landowners wish to preserve this quality of life. To quote Ed McMahon, and I quote, why do people feel a sense of loss, like losing a loved one or a friend when a historic building is demolished, a scenic view destroyed, or a grove of trees bulldozed? It's not because we don't have lots of other trees in this country or lots of other buildings. It's because our sense of identity as individuals, as Americans, and as citizens of Delaware is profoundly affected by special buildings, places, and views. And that essentially describes Lewis. And I'll give you copies of that. I'll read. I'm losing my voice here.
Well, you haven't said anything for 4 hours. How can you be losing your voice? You've been quiet. I've watched. You've kept your mouth shut the whole time. You all should take a lesson from him. Go ahead.
I know the protocol.
Yes,
I learned it from Jack Allen.
Yes, you did. Yeah. God bless Jack.
Mr. Wheatley and commissioners, this is like a summer rerun, which for some of us occurred on September 27th, 1994. That's the date of the County Council public hearing on change of zone 1239 entitled An Ordinance to Amend the Comprehensive Zoning Map of Sussex County from an AR1 Agricultural Residential District to a C1 General Commercial District for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 18 acres more or less, filed on behalf of Tanger Properties LP. So it was a little short of 15 years ago that I stood before council and pleaded our case that rezoning additional 18 acres of land on the gateway of Lewis was a bad idea. Some more history. The motion was denied 4-1. In a roll call vote, Mr. Benson nay, Mr. Cole nay, Mr. Collins nay, Mr. Stevenson nay, Mr. Dukes, yay. Motion denied 4-1, yay. 4-1, yay. Today the scene has changed, as has the cast. You are hearing a new application and a similar plea to deny a commercial site that consumes more acreage than the mere 18 acres Tanger wanted to expand its commercial footprint to nearly 300,000 square feet of shopping paradise. Today, nothing seems to have changed. We still suffer from the commercial exploitation of the Route 1 corridor and housing development approvals. Furthermore, an increase in tourism has at times turned a feeder road, King's Highway, into a linear parking lot, sometimes in both directions, and people still move here to enjoy the lower, slower pace of Sussex County and its fine towns and people. I want to identify something else that's in our wonderful plan. It's in the mobility element under roads, highways, and local roads. There is no such thing as a major arterial. It talks about principal arterials. and this is other principal arterials, and says these roads provide an integrated network of routes that serve major activity and urban centers. They are the highest traffic volume corridors and with typically long trip lengths, and provide a link between the higher and lower classification roadways. Land access is not prohibited. Minor arterials. These routes interconnect other principal arterials and provide access to smaller developed areas. They also link cities and towns. More emphasis is placed on land access via minor arterials than other principal arterials. So may the arterials rest in peace, but it's not a major arterial, as Mr. Serkovic has showed you. For the record, the application was denied in 1994 because no need was established. The application was not in compliance with the land use plan. Other sites were available in the C1 General Commercial District. Job opportunities were only speculative. Safety concerns were voiced, such as emergency access. I'll tell you this. I live in Lewis, and I live close enough to Kings Highway to know that ambulances come down here. You know why they use Kings Highway? Think about it, especially coming from the south. 60% of the calls, first of all, ambulance calls, go to Beebe Hospital, okay? Now, if they're coming from the south, and you see the traffic all stopped at Dartmouth Road, what are you going to do? You're going to take that Axel lane off of Route 1 and head right into town. It's the easiest way to get into town. And I've seen it over and over again. And I've seen them taking it out of town as well. But for the most part, they're coming in. And I've seen it happen time and time again. Tonight, you're being asked to recommend something that has all the characteristics of that September 1994 CZ 1239, but is significantly worse. It's easy to understand that it will have serious negative effects on Lewis, the first town in the first state, and its historic legacy, unparalleled in Delaware, where the people can see history firsthand in restored homes, historic buildings, and museums. There was an educator, his name's Bernie Herman, I don't know if you know him, from the University of Delaware, and he really praised Lewis because of its Victorian charm and its colonial houses, but he also was very critical of 20th century Victorians, houses that people think look like Lewis, but they really aren't. It's just the thing about architecture, you can't really make another Lewis and make it look like Lewis. You don't need a traffic counter to tell you the impact it will have on Cape Henlopen State Park, which is visited each year by more than 1 million nature and beach-loving people. I think the park was closed 3 times this year because it was full. It couldn't let anybody else in. You won't have to wait at Monroe Avenue in Freeman to watch 100 vehicles exiting the Cape May-Lewis Ferry traffic. And you don't have to imagine the traffic generated by the Cape Henlopen High School and its students, teachers, and buses. Amid all that, you will hope that an ambulance doesn't have to navigate bumper-to-bumper Kings Highway traffic to take you to Beebe Hospital while you are in cardiac arrest. And I mentioned, in case you're wondering, some 60% of ambulance calls in Sussex County go to Beebe Hospital. If 1994 seems too far back, let's look at 2003, when the county, state, and state finally, after nearly 2 years, drafted the results of my favorite plan. You've seen me wave it in front of you. It's getting a little dog-eared now. And that's the State Route 1 Land Use and Transportation Study. I served on this Route 1 study. It was the third Route 1 study that I had participated in since 1992. Its goals were simple. Increase the mobility of area residents by developing alternative road links and connections. Provide a variety of ways to travel. Reduce congestion, improve safety, maintain the character of the study area, and gain public acceptance of study recommendations. The study introduced an activity center concept, and I quote, which provides for limited commercial development within a neighborhood setting. This could include such conveniences as a dry cleaner, deli, restaurant, a bakery, a video store, a hair salon, or any other local small-scale business suitable for a neighborhood, end quote. Further, the study goes on to say, and I quote, under the recommended land use scenario, as many as 4 activity centers should concentrate new development in the Lewis-Rehoboth Beach area. All 4 multi-use centers could be located west of SR1, end quote. At the time, several members, including James Ippolito, then a Lewis councilman representing the city of Lewis, on the study group, and concerned about preserving the small-town character of the town, was adamant that no such centers be located east of Route 1 near Lewis. He stated, and I paraphrase, "Lewis was already a town center. We don't need another one." In addition to those concerned, the study also identified wellhead protection areas and excellent groundwater recharge areas designated as critical areas in the state land use code by the Delaware Geological Survey. Such critical land constitutes only 8% of the entire Sussex County, and a large portion of that excellent recharge land lies in the Lingo Townsend site. The study made a succinct statement. Any proposed improvements must avoid or minimize adverse impacts to critical areas. End quote. Impervious surface of asphalt and buildings pose an imminent threat to wellhead protection and jeopardize water resources for Lewis and the entire area. In the face of unbridled development in Hocassin some 30 years ago, where I used to live, I remember the water stopped flowing from many of my neighbors' faucets because development hampered water recharge and folks living in higher locations had no water. No water, no people. We cannot afford to continue to cover critical recharge land and expect the water supply to continue as if nothing has occurred. After reviewing the testimony I made before you on January 10, 2008, I realized another fact should weigh heavily for denying this application. The villages at Five Points, exactly 1 mile from entrance to proposed entrance, already serves local and regional customers with a supermarket and many other shops and service. What benefit would another commercial hub bring to the community? Answer, none. If you add the cumulative impact of the villages of Five Points with the already approved vineyards on Route 9, how much commercial gridlock do we need to tell us this site is ill-advised? The area is already on commercial overload. The site will not serve the community and represents superfluous development to appease the developer. We ask you deny this application. Let the applicant develop it as AR1. And I also want to add, none of us who are in opposition, at least publicly or formally, ever said anything about them making it a park. That would be a takings, and we would not consider Mr. Lingo Townsend's to make a park. If they want to do it on their own, God bless them. I mean, that preserves the J.G. Townsend name in posterity, but that's has nothing to do with us. We would never suggest that. You know, Citizens Coalition takes a very objective viewpoint and an objective attitude to land use, and we certainly wouldn't ever espouse that. Respectfully submitted on behalf of some 200 households of Citizens Coalition, Michael Tyler, President.
Thank you, sir.
Without pay.
Next, what it's called, Dan Gilder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Hi.
Late as the hour is. I appreciate the opportunity to
Your
speak tonight. I'm Gail Van Gilder.
Okay.
And I am chair of the Lewis Scenic Byway Committee.
Okay.
I've worked on the state scenic byway program since its inception, and I sit on the state scenic byway advisory committee. I chaired both the Brandywine Valley Scenic Byway nomination committee and took it through both state and national designation, and I chair the Lewis Scenic Byway Committee. I'm here tonight to give you some information about the byway program and to bring to your attention that the Lingo Townsend land on which is being proposed for rezoning now sits at the crossroads of two roads recently designated by the Delaware State Department of Transportation as state, scenic, and historic byways. The roads that were designated on June 3, 2009 include Kings Highway, Gills Neck Road, Savannah Road, Pilottown Road, New Road, and Cape Henlopen Drive. There's a map in the nomination application, which I'll give to you, showing you where the roads are in relation to the shopping center. And the achieving recognition as one of only five scenic byways in the state of Delaware means that these roads are some of the most scenic and significant in the entire state based upon their vast scenic and historic resources. Now, the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan does address and provide for the state scenic and highway program. And that is addressed on page 1216 and 1217 of the comprehensive plan, where it states that, to quote, "The purpose of the program is to identify, preserve, and enhance roadways in Delaware that possess outstanding visual qualities, and that, after designation, it is required that a corridor management plan be developed to outline strategies to preserve and enhance the roadway." Just to give you a little background information, the Scenic Byway Program is a program of both the Federal Highway Administration and the State of Delaware Department of Transportation. And the State of Delaware program meets federal guidelines and allows Delaware-designated roads to be eligible to apply for federal funding. The Lewis Scenic Byway Committee was appointed by the mayor of Lewis, and as part of the Lewis and Scenic Historic Byway nomination requirements, a nomination application was written, which is here, and submitted to the Department of Transportation. Representatives of the many constituencies along the byway worked together with DLDOT and the City of Lewis for 18 months to complete the nomination process. The nomination application was reviewed and approved by DLDOT. The primary intrinsic quality of the byway was determined by the committee to be historic, but it has strong scenic, natural, recreational, and archaeological features as well. The Lewis Scenic and Historic Byway aims to showcase the remarkable 378-year history of Lewis. Each roadway, together with its adjacent landscape, represents land and sea gateways to Lewis that reflect its history and evolution since 1631. King's Highway is considered a significant historic gateway to Lewis, and Gill's Neck Road, a gateway that connects to the sea and its maritime history. It is the scenic and historic aspects of the greater Lewis area that attracts visitors here year-round and make it a premier tourist destination in the state of Delaware. New development, such as the one being proposed here tonight, built out of scale to these byways, poses an enormous risk to the tourist economy and the real estate market for vacation and retirement homes on which this area so heavily depends. The Lingo Townsend rezoning and proposed approximately 320,000 square foot shopping center can overwhelm the scenic byway and seriously jeopardize Lewis's appeal as a tourist destination. The question you're being asked here today to decide is, will the historic town of Lewis, the very first town in the state of Delaware with its renowned historic resources, its museums and gardens, beaches, parks, and open space, its historic buildings and sites, and quaint village survive for future generations to enjoy? Or will our legacy be bigger and shopping centers with bigger roads and increased traffic that will overwhelm the historic Lewis area and drive the tourism business away? The Lewis Scenic and Historic Byway was considered so significant that it passed the test of state byway standards to receive designation. Therefore, the Department of Transportation will take this into consideration when addressing traffic impacts created by the byway, by the proposed commercial development. And any improvements should be made under the guideline that they not destroy the character of the existing road. When done properly, it becomes obvious that the capacity of both Gill's Neck Road and King's Highway to support the density proposed here cannot support this level of service without serious degradation, and I urge that you will take this into consideration when you make your decision.
Gail,
yes.
Can I just ask you one question?
Sure.
You reviewed the reports that were given by DLDOT. Did the DLDOT reports address the scenic byway designation?
No, it did not address the scenic byway designation. That could be. The scenic byway was approved on June 3rd of this year. I don't know what the date of the DLDOT report was. The PLUS report was probably earlier than that, and then you did not have to go back through for a second PLUS review for the revised application. So it could have gotten lost in the shuffle there. But otherwise, I expect it would have come up. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
But he may ask a couple of other people to address three or four minor points.
I'm John Mateko, 304 Pilottown Road in Lewis, speaking on behalf of Managing Growth Around Lewis Incorporated and a member of the Citizens Coalition Incorporated and Sustainable Delaware Network Incorporated, the Delaware chapter of the Northeast Sustainable Energy Association. Thank you for this opportunity. I am very, very cognizant how late it is. There's still others who want to make short statements. I am going to just try to touch very quickly on some things that are dangling and fell to me to put in, please.
As you know, your written comments are part of the record.
And so you really they will
need,
there.
Right. Don't need to read the whole thing, but right. By all means, hit the high spots.
Before I am going to submit a packet for the record here on sustainable growth, smart growth. Just let me just cite right here orally the 2005 City of Lewis Comprehensive Plan. High need for to continue to foster pleasant walking and biking facilities by creating a network of pedestrian and bicycle corridors throughout the city as transportation alternatives. Down below, develop pedestrian and bicycle routes along the following corridors: Pollitown, Front, New Road, Savannah, Kings, Freeman, Cape, Henlopen Drive, etc. Let me just put all of this
into part of the record.
Thank you. The point there, of course, is I want to pull together in a quick narrative of land use why this proposal must be rejected as a rezoning request in the way that, in a technical legal sense, Mr. Cerkovic has demonstrated that it must be rejected on legal grounds. That material there lays out a groundwork of what the objective of good growth, smart growth, energy-saving growth is about. And this is just the opposite. If I may... although this is very nice that to have this sort of concept in here, in essence, the function of it is still a shopping center like the 1960s or 70s. The pad sites have been pulled together in the front, and that's all really there is that's different. It has absolutely nothing to do with this context in which it's set. It's actually shocking that anyone would propose this at the gateway to Lewis. And I know many, all of you, I'm sure, are familiar with why that is so special. I got up this morning to check out exactly the year of the first Sussex County Courthouse, and I walked over to its site, 1680, a log building in the amount of whatever building you can build for 5,000 pounds of tobacco. Lewis is the jewel, right, in the crown of Sussex County. It's the birthplace of Sussex County and the state of Delaware.
I thought it was hardscrabble, but...
okay. Just in terms of the economics, that little place is one of the engines, the economic engines of Sussex County. And I don't think anybody who's in contracting or does any type of work like that doesn't believe that's the case. That's the gentleman was over here, and we said, need jobs? Yeah, we need jobs, and a hell of a lot of jobs. In good-paying jobs, not minimum wage jobs and clerks, and good-paying jobs that you can get somewhere, are supported in that community. Independent businesses, restaurants, and so forth. Let me just get into what I'm supposed to say here to introduce this. I'm an architect licensed in Delaware and five other states. I've done this for 30 years.
I'm a member of the board of directors of the AIA Delaware chapter, and I'm the chair of their sustainability program in Delaware. This rezoning is unneeded. It's injurious to public safety, health, and welfare, public mobility on the roads and also within Lewis. The use of public facilities, the state park, the multi-million dollar investment in the ferry. It's not much of a ferry if you can't get there, right? Operation of emergency responders. When the Lewis Fire Department gets a call that their comrades in Dewey or Rehoboth need backup, as the chairman mentioned earlier, they go where they need to go. And you know which way they go. Their other guys need help. Where do you think they go? They go right out there, roaring out on King's Highway. And we have been told that there's all this mitigation, but even DelDOT concurs, when you do it all, what you are stuck with is a much worse, you're left with a failing situation where the ambulances to get back on station or get to the accident out on Route 1 can't get through, and the fire department and the police backing up, the Lewis Police Department backing up the state police can't get out there. This is the essence of what planning is about and zoning. That's a high level of public need. Because this is not recognized by this rezoning, it's not the orderly growth that the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan requires for both present and future generations. Lewis and nearby homeowners, and you'll hear from some of them very shortly now, oppose this regional shopping center because it's totally unneeded to satisfy our local needs. Those 2,000 homes, you've heard it. The chairman has said we don't need to repeat it. I'm still going to do it. We need, because this hasn't been said, very, very small neighborhood shopping centers, what Mr. Tyler was talking about, 10, 15, 20,000 square feet to that you walk to. And these are called village centers or neighborhood centers, town centers, because they're in the center of the residence. So everybody can walk. If you have your daycare center there, or you need to pick up a big bottle of wine, it's close in. You just walk to it. It's not stuck over on the edge of the highway, because that's where you put regional shopping centers. See, the applicant is really playing word games. They want it both ways. They're doing nothing more than a 1960s shopping center, but they put the name Village Center on it, but it's not in the center of walkability, which matters, because that is really where we need to go. But let's keep walking through this. Lewis citizens, homeowners, business people like myself, oppose the CR1 classification because, and the classification itself, as has been pointed out, is predicated upon this, that it's for a use that has a catchment area from many miles away, okay? It brings regional scale traffic from a catchment area of 3 to 15 miles, depending on what the anchor store is, and you've heard that documented. It brings it into the very heart of the narrow, small-scaled 17th and 18th century historic streets of Lewis, 378 years old. This rezoning would degrade public safety for pedestrians, bicyclists, and drivers by overloading the very limited carrying capacity of the existing small historic streets. And in doing so, it's going to degrade the property values, business investment, and the tax base for the city of Lewis and the county. People don't pay the type of prices going on around there to have something just swamped with traffic. It's going to take a huge hit. Lewis is known throughout the nation as part of America's historic heritage. People come from all over here. They come with their wallets. They work someplace in Florida, the Midwest, New England, overseas. They come here to our restaurants in Lewis. They spend money. They make people employed. They bring their money here. They don't come here to look at that. That's what they're getting away from. I mean, we got to be real here. That's not a generator that's unique. Lewis, the way it is unique in the United States. That's the golden goose. It takes a real fool, right? And we're not, to kill the golden goose. It's lasted for 300 and what is it? It's too late. 78 years old?
Close enough.
I do think, and the reason I wanted to read to you about the pedestrianization there of the city, Lewis, you know, the irony here is these old cities like Lewis, 4 centuries old, obviously they were designed before the automobile. So pedestrianization is natural and authentic to them. They work really well. So here's the point. This rezoning is injurious to public safety in cities like Lewis especially, because it sets up a confrontation between out-of-town shopping center auto traffic. People who are not familiar with our yield to the pedestrian regulations. And the much-beloved...
So I do have to ask you something. You seem to be creating the notion that people have to drive through the center of Lewis to get to this place.
Yeah.
They don't have to. They're going to come off of Route 1. They're going to go down King's Highway. They're going to go there. They're going to go right back out.
I think you're absolutely right. The vast majority of this huge thing.
I'm just asking a question because it just seems kind of strange to me that you would be concerned that all these people were going to drive through the center of Lewis.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not at all. I think a small number will, but a small fraction mm-hmm. of a very large base. Mm-hmm. Is huge for us.
Okay.
It's huge. You know, I've seen this. I was on there was an accident on Route 1 in front of the steakhouse, and suddenly the lane I was in was moving, and somebody up there was going this way into the back roads, and I realized that that's what would happen with us. I followed them. I figured somebody knew what they were how to twist around, go in the back. And that's what will happen. Anyone coming from the north, I believe, would take New Road down to 4th Street. Okay, the city controls that. We could make it a one-way. So then they go to a Pilottown Road, and then they do the same thing. They come in, and they cut back down to 3rd or 4th. It's an easy way to avoid that congestion that is, DelDOT is saying it.
Okay.
It's going to be congested, but that won't be. Now, what's wrong with taking 4th Street? Well, the mayor could tell you, 4th Street has been identified by BB Hospital and the city police department as the emergency corridor to link New Road and Savannah Road, and they would sort of block that off mm-hmm. so that people can get into the hospital. Mm-hmm. I just point out that this is highly irresponsible. 60%, according to BB's emergency services department, 60% of all the ambulances in Sussex County go to this place that I'm suggesting you can't get in through Savannah, Kings, or it's going to be tougher. Traffic, everyone says, is like water. It seeks its own level. If, you know, it just twists around. Whatever's the easy way to get in there, it does it. And if you've been in Lewis on a Saturday in the summer season, you know this. It's already almost Saturday morning. It's got no, there's nothing. And we have 2,000 units already coming. They all want to come in to have coffee at Cafe Ask a Friend, too. It's not going to work, right? So it's the issue is this orderly growth, this rezoning, given all of that? And how special this little town of Lewis is and this character of pedestrianization, which works, right? And it's prosperous. It's good for business investment. It's good for the property values, the tax base. All of that, I believe, has to be brought. And that's why 600 signs are on the lawns. People are scared to death that this could go through. With that... I don't think. We've talked about one thing hasn't been mentioned. The sites across the street from Cape Henlopen High School and the city's waters, right? For school children, this is a public safety issue and an attractive nuisance. I'm told in New Jersey this would be prohibited as an attractive nuisance, but this is not
New Jersey. There's a model we should follow, New Jersey. Yeah.
They did mention that this is even in New Jersey. attraction to the mall across from the Delaware State College resulted in fatalities there. And the Christiana Mall is now reported to be off-limits, has an off-limits policy for high school students because of the difficulty. So mallies and that type of thing. There's much more that could be developed about that incompatibility, but that's enough to get it into the record. That proximity across from the high school, I do not believe can be considered orderly growth. Remember, this is a choice, this upzoning, this rezoning, and you have to decide if there are negative consequences to putting a regional shopping center, which DelDOT itself says is going to create failing traffic patterns. And I don't think the Lewis Fire Department or BB Hospital is going to move, so how are they going to get through there? So just think of this picture. We have bumper-to-bumper traffic. Here comes the fire department or the ambulance. They're on the side of the road, and the school kids are, you know, they want to get with their friends. It's not a good scene, right? That's pretty clear. I just want to also mention the hundreds of millions of dollars that the taxpayers of Delaware and New Jersey, they can worry about themselves, but we should worry about it, have in the DRBA ferry. If you can't get there reasonably, remember, it's going to get worse if you do the rezoning. If you just leave it as it is, it's more functional as a ferry. That's as an intermodal connector, it's part of the interstate highway system. It's the southerly connector for the for that part of the eastern seaport. It seems like a serious issue. Mm-hmm. Let me just finish on this. This was we've talked a little bit about this, but let me just set this. This 320,000 square foot shopping center would require 25,000 to 30,000households or homes to sustain it. Gills Neck Road, the build out is going to be 1,500 to 2,000 new homes. Okay, Lewis right now has year round about 2,800 households, but they're already being served. So we don't want to put all those people out of business. So that's served already. So we only have, we would need 15 times the 2,000 new households to service this shopping center. Everyone has said, the chairman, that's not the game plan. But that really is not being made clear in the presentation of the applicant, that this is a small segment of the need for this is only a tiny segment locally necessary. This is induced demand to come from miles away. And here's the thing. Is this the place to do this gratuitous new demand center across from the drinking wells, the new high school, the ambulance route for 60% of Sussex County, and the only access to the DRBA ferry, and something that just might make it crummier in the birthplace of the state of Delaware? Does that make sense that it has to be there instead of filling in more on Highway 1? I think you know what the answer is. I want to thank you for the opportunity. It's been wonderful. Now, if I may, Mr. Chairman, with your permission, there are a couple of little comments that a few people would like to make. May I call them up to follow me?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think I'm going to call them up. If they'll just raise their hands, I'll call them. Some of these people have been sitting here a long
time. The first one, if I might, is Senator Gary Simpson, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Senator Gary Simpson. We've suddenly gotten very popular with all the state legislators here. Everybody wants to come talk to us. Some would say warn us, I think was the word I read.
Tell us how to do it.
Yeah.
It's a little late for me. This is past my bedtime, and I don't envy you guys one bit.
I'm glad
you've got the toughest job.
Yeah. Not an election year, Gary. So.
That's right. It's not. Mr. Mateko asked me earlier this week if
we,
I would...
We need you to... If you give your name, sir, and
identify yourself for the record.
The tape doesn't recognize you. We all know who you are, but you need to give us your name.
Gary Simpson, state senator, representing Lewis and other parts of Sussex County.
Okay, are you here as a state senator this evening, or are you here on your own behalf, or both?
I guess you would say both.
All right, then. Go ahead.
So I'm not sure if I'm getting paid tonight or not. I'm not a paid lobbyist. Mr. Mateko asked me earlier this week to ascertain if DelDOT had a formal agreement with Delaware River and Basin Authority for dualizing Kings Highway. And as of 4 p.m. this afternoon, there is no agreement in place and there is no agreement planned for the dualization between DRBA and the state of Delaware Department of Transportation. Sitting on the State Bond Bill Committee, I also know that there's nothing in this current budget for dualization or the long-range budget of DelDOT for the dualization of this highway. That's what I was asked to speak on tonight. I'd be happy to answer any of your questions. I'll be very brief because I know you've had a long day.
I have one,
okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Go right ahead.
Is there any money in the current budget or in the near future budgets for participating in any of these road improvements that they've talked about, including Dartmouth Road and Clay Road and Gills Neck Road and those intersections?
From what I could ascertain from remembering the bond bill budget that we went through this year, I didn't see anything in the current budget and nothing in the long range. The major areas that was in the budget for this particular area was Route 9 at Five Points. I didn't see anything else.
Okay. Anyone else have a question for the senator?
Yes, Senator, since you're the state representative here, why not? Why isn't there any money in the state budget to improve our roads?
Why isn't? I guess the state saw needs in other places. It's a limited budget this year, and there were greater needs at other areas. Specifically, Route 9 at Five Points.
We had a representative here a couple weeks ago, and he said he opposed some road improvements in the area, and then he blamed the commission and the council for causing the congestion in the area. I don't know. I mean, I'm just a simple-minded farm boy, and I try to figure out that I was born in 1954, hatched, actually, since I was on a farm. And, you know, those roads have been two-lane opposing roads all of my life. And so, but we have people like yourself that come here and say the state doesn't plan on putting any money towards those roads. Some actually oppose improvements to those roads, but they want to blame the commission and the council for allowing people to live on those roads that haven't been improved in 54 or 55 years of my lifespan.
Well, it's not that they're not putting money into the roads in the Lewis-Rehoboth area.
Well, they can spend
because
money.
They are.
They can spend money. I didn't say they didn't spend
Well, they
money,
are making improvements
but they're
on
not
those,
increasing
on
capacity,
those highways.
Highway capacity. Those roads,
I disagree with you.
Excuse me.
From
Route
Five
404
points to,
is a two-lane.
Rehoboth is a three-lane.
Route 404 is a two-lane opposing road. It's a major arterial road. It has been two-lane opposing all of my life. There's no plans on any, and that's an arterial road. And the other minor, if you will, arterial roads, 54, 24, 20, 16, pick your number, right, are all two-lane opposing roads. Yet we have applications that come in here, and the only way to improve those roads, to increase capacity, is to improve the application, because the applicant's going to pay for the road improvement, not the state. So here's our conundrum. And then when we approve, we recommend approval, and the council finally approves it, to get that road improvement, then we catch the dickens for increasing the traffic, but it's the only way to solve the problem, because they're paying for the road improvement, not DelDoc. Go to Americana Bayside. The gentleman described it. I was there just the other night because I wanted to ride by it and look at it. It's much improved. People ride by there and say, man, DelDoc did a great job. Sorry, wrong answer. Americana Bayside did that. So approving the project that nobody wanted solved the problem, and yet we catch it from both directions.
I don't believe the developer has been asked to dualize that road as well.
I'm not talking about dualization, but they get a little from each one as each project goes up, and they gradually improve it, and they do it with the development's money. It's not state money. And that's DelDOT's transportation plan for Sussex. And the only way we can improve our roads is to approve the project. So you see my dilemma. And yet these folks are going to get angry when we improve the projects to solve the problem, whether it's a brownfield or whether it's a road improvement. And here we are. We're damned if we do, and we're damned if we don't.
I guess what you're being asked to do is look at what this development or any development will cause in the way of problems for the road system, and you're being told that this road is not going to be dualized in the foreseeable future by either DRBA or the state of Delaware, and you're the one that has to make that decision whether you go forward with it. I think that there's a discussion for you and I and this board to have at a later date, but I'm not so sure if it's opportune time with this applicant.
I think
it's the only time you guys have come to see us.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like all of a sudden everybody state representative wants to come in and have at the Planning and Zoning Commission. Well,
I've not had at you.
You know,
I'm just, well, Mr. I'm Simpson, just answering a question from a constituent that I present to you.
Mr. Simpson, okay. I think you're mistaken. That. You know, I think this is a state which writes our transportation plan and has ever since the county council was formed, not living up to its commitment to fulfill those plans that have been existing for over 35 years. And yet here we are, and the community comes in and wants to blame it on the only people they have to blame because they can't get access to the people that are really responsible for the traffic issues. So I disagree with you on that. And the only way we can solve some of those traffic issues, believe it or not, is approving projects like this. And we don't particularly like it, but
I can't agree with you, but we're not going to stop
the conversation because I don't want to suggest that anybody's prejudged this application.
No, I haven't, but similar to this. And this is the difficulty. You don't really want to do it, but the road has a problem. And to get it from an F to a D, which is kind of silly, you know, that's what happens. And then the next guy contributes, and hopefully you get it to a C.
Which comes first, the chicken or the egg?
I don't know, but we're 35 years behind in road improvements because the state has not lived up to its obligation. And we have state senators and state reps coming here.
Are you advocating tax increases?
Mr. Chairman, if I could, let's get this back on track.
I'll tell you what, you've raised an excellent question, but it is beyond scope of this public hearing. But I think you've raised an excellent question, but you're asking the wrong people. Turn around and ask those people. Ask them. They're the people that make
Ross.
That decision.
He's the one.
No, you're the one who has the authority to raise taxes, sir. Not this group. Okay. You're the ones that make those decisions. Now, you know.
That's what I was asking.
Okay. Well, don't ask him. He's not your constituent. These people are. So, thank you for being with us. All right, sir. Thanks.